So I am talking this morning about one of God's promises, which is one that instantly, when Martin asked me if I would do a talk on one of the promises, this is the one that just instantly came into my mind. And it is a promise of God: I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I wanted to start off this morning by telling you some stories. Work in a library, so it seemed a pretty natural thing to do. The first one is about a little girl. She was the eldest of three children. At 5 years of age, the little girl's mother walked out of the house one day and she never came back. The little girl's father, unable to care for three children and work full-time, sent her and her younger sister to a Church of England children's home, where, unfortunately, she wasn't treated kindly, and she ended up moving to different children's homes around the country for the next 6 years. That little girl was my mum. I want to tell you another story. This time it's about a little girl, sorry, I'm going to get a bit emotional, whose father came home one day and he told her that he was leaving them to go and live with another woman. At 7 years of age, she didn't really understand the situation, but she remembers going to her bedroom and crying. Her older brother joined her, and he told her that everything was going to change from that moment. And he was right. Bearing in mind, this was in the late 70s, and divorce was not as common as it is now. The little girl didn't know anyone else who had experienced this, and it was a very lonely place to be. Witnessing the distress it was causing her mother and the hardship it brought from becoming a one-parent family, it was a tough and life-changing time. And for many years, that little girl carried the burden that it was somehow her fault. That little girl was me. Here's another story. This time you will probably guess pretty quickly who it's about. There was a boy who grew up in South Africa amongst a backdrop of racial discrimination. An intelligent boy who went on to train as a lawyer and become an anti-apartheid activist. Targeted by the authorities, he was arrested and thrown into prison a couple of times before, on June 12, 1964, he was sentenced to life imprisonment, narrowly escaping the death penalty. Can you guess who that might be? Nelson Mandela. I'm sure that everyone in this room has similar stories. Maybe not as dramatic as Nelson Mandela, but certainly stories of abandonment, of feeling rejected, of circumstances that are out of our control. But all our stories have something in common. God is with us in the midst of it all. So let's have a look at this in context of the Bible. We find the earlier reference to this promise in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, where God is commanding us to find our confidence in him. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tempted because or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. This was written to encourage the people of Israel to trust in him during a time of great adversity. And in Hebrews 13, verse 5, echoing the same sentiments, but also with extra emphasis on what not to have confidence in, he says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Similar verses are repeated throughout the Bible. In the New Testament, in Romans 8, verse 10 and 11, the verses talk about Christ living within us. This is what is meant by Christ in me when we sing that lovely song. To have God with us always means that we can be strong and courageous because the source of our strength lives inside of us. We just have to remember that he's there always. So let's make no bones about it. Life isn't always easy. Bad things happen. Navigating our way through the darkness is hard. When Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28:20 that he would be with them to the very end of the age, that wasn't just for them. It is also for us now. God will never send us back, let go of us, give up on us, desert us, because God is faithful and committed to us. Why else would he have sacrificed his son Jesus for our sakes? So as we are the first Sunday in December and we've come into a Christmas season, let's turn our eyes to the Christmas story for a moment. Mary and Joseph fleeing their home, uncertain of where to find a place to rest. They didn't really know what the future was going to look like, but they obediently followed the calling revealed to them through Angel Gabriel, that the little baby that was to be born was going to save the world. That little baby, Jesus, was going to fill the brokenness and the holes in all of our future stories. He would become the father of the fatherless, the restorer of relationships, the hope and love in a hopeless world. That little baby was Emmanuel, God with us. Mary and Joseph, they didn't have it easy. After the birth of Jesus, they had to endure a long journey through the Sinai desert and a period of exile in a foreign land. They were refugees, but God kept them safe. Let's have a look at some other examples of how he never leaves us. In Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace because of their faithfulness to God in refusing to bow to idols. King Nebuchadnezzar came to witness their execution, but he was stunned because he saw not three, but four men in the fire. And he recognized that that fourth man in the fire was none other than Jesus. So I've got an example, much more current, of God's power at work in our everyday lives. And it's a true thing that happened to me a few years ago now when the boys were quite small. And we lived in Nailsworth and we had to travel into Stroud to take them to primary school. And nearly every morning I was in a bit of a rush to get them to school on time. And always, you know, there's a car journey to do and it's always busy with traffic. And there was a shortcut that I sometimes took if I wanted to try and cut out the main traffic in the town. So this one morning, I was my usual, get in the car, we got to get to school. Decided to take this shortcut, very, very narrow shortcut, a very bad blind bend, which you always kind of think, oh, I hope nothing comes as I'm about to go around that bend. Well, this one morning, we were going down this shortcut, probably driving a little bit faster than I should have done that morning because I was in a rush. And I had Stephen in the front seat and Nathan in a little seat in the back of the car. They were quite small. And as we were approaching this blind bend, just suddenly, out of nowhere, came this small lorry. And I was on a collision course with this lorry. I mean, so close to it. And all I remember doing is just closing my eyes and thinking, this is it. We're gone. And I can only explain this as if you've ever seen films where it's like in a desert and it's very hot and you've got that kind of wavy, you know, sort of mirage thing happening in the... It was just exactly like that. I just remember going through this kind of mirage thing and somebody else was steering the car and we came out the other side and then the gap that I would have had to have gone through with the car would have probably been that. And we came out the other side, and I just stopped the car, suddenly sort of came to and stopped the car, looked in my mirror. The lorry was still there. I mean, goodness knows what the driver of the lorry was thinking. And I just wish that I'd had the chance to speak to him and find out what his experience had been. But that was God taking over the situation for us that morning, because it wasn't our time. It wasn't our time. And we had to, when I drove on a little bit further, there was a small car park, and I just pulled in and I said, "Boys, we've just got to give thanks to God, because he has just saved us from the worst accident you could imagine." So what a privilege it is to be a child of God. That was several years ago. Now the boys are a little bit bigger. I've got one who's in his late teens and one who's early 20s. So as a parent of two young men, I am learning a new lesson, accepting that I have to hand them over to young adulthood, allowing them to spread their wings and fly through this fallen world. Once again, unsure of the paths that lie ahead of them, but trusting in his promises again and again, that he will never leave them or forsake them, even when they turn their backs on him and try to fly by themselves. So how is it possible that he is always with us and looking out for us? It is by his Holy Spirit. I don't know if you have ever read the story by William P. Young, The Shack. I've got a copy here, actually. So if anybody would like to read it, you're welcome to this copy. Come and see me at the end. But this is a story about a girl who is abducted and killed. And it tells the story of a father who, in his plight to find out what happened to his daughter, he encounters God. It describes beautifully how I think the Holy Spirit works. It is like the wind. It can be a warm, gentle breeze on a summer's day, and it can be a mighty clap of thunder. It is the power and the strength that we find from within us to forgive someone who has wronged us. Not so that we forget, but so that we are released from something that will eat us alive, that will destroy our joy and our ability to love fully and openly. It is that small voice, the prompting from within us, that helps us to make decisions and sometimes pushes us out of our comfort zones. It has the power to heal, to do the impossible, to intervene on our behalf, much like my experience in the car with the boys. That was a supernatural power at work. So, whilst preparing this talk in the week, something came up on my Facebook thread, and I felt that it just really tied in really well with today's talk. And it was about a story about a little lamb. So, every once in a while, a ewe will give birth to a lamb and reject it. There are lots of reasons why she may do this. And if the shepherd tries to return the lamb, the mother might even kick the baby away. Once a ewe rejects one of her lambs, she will not change her mind. These little rejected lambs will hang their heads so low that it looks like something is wrong with their necks. Their spirits are broken. Unless the shepherd intervenes, that little lamb will die, rejected and alone. So the shepherd, he takes the little rejected lamb into the warm, hand feeds it and keeps it safe. He wraps it up in blankets, holds it close to his chest so that the lamb can hear the heartbeat. And once the lamb is strong enough, the shepherd will place it in the field with the rest of the flock. That sheep never forgets the shepherd's love and care. And when the shepherd calls the flock, guess which sheep comes first? That sheep knows the shepherd's voice. So many of us are like that little lamb, rejected and broken. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He cares for our every need, and he holds us close to his heart. We may be broken, but we are deeply loved by the shepherd who will never leave us. So what would happen without him? Without Jesus, would abandonment turn into unforgiveness? Would hurt and sadness turn into anger and revenge? Would we be driven by hatred? Well, I think the answer to that is yes. So let's thank God that through his promises to us, we are shown a different way. That we can live a life in all its fullness, no matter how long or short. And that we, in turn, with a servant heart, can show love, compassion, and companionship to all we meet, friends, strangers, and enemies. So, as I'm sort of coming towards the tail end of my talk, I wanted to go back to the stories that I shared at the very beginning. And what did Jesus do? Well, in the case of my mum, she was found a loving foster home at the age of 11, a family that were held in very high regard in their small little Devonshire village and very active in their local church and community. Church life became a big part of my mum's story, as she found the love and the stability that she needed. Throughout her life, she experienced other obstacles, but my mum was not bitter or hardened by her experiences, because she saw the world through Jesus' eyes, showing love, compassion, and kindness throughout her life with a servant heart. She didn't allow her early years to define her future, but only to strengthen her resolve and trust, hope, and love in him. She would need that strength to carry her through divorce, illness, and cancer in future years. Let's pick up on my own story. So whilst my mum and dad were together, as a family, we had sort of not been going to church. My dad wasn't really a big believer. And then in the early 80s, off the back of my parents divorcing, we were going through quite a tough time as a family. And then one day there came a knock at the door, and a lady introduced herself as a Christian coming from the local Pentecostal church. Someone who knew our situation had asked if she could come and befriend my mum, and she also invited us to a church service. My mum couldn't make it, so I was like, I'll go. So I went by myself with the lady's family, liked it so much that I came home and I begged my mum to come with me the next time. And the rest, they say, is history. Jesus met us where we were, his Holy Spirit at work, guiding people to our door. So never underestimate the prompting of God. Up until that point, I was lost, but God gave me back my voice, my purpose. There were still plenty of difficult, painful, and upsetting times ahead, but this time I didn't feel alone. Thinking back to all the difficulties over the years, then and since, does make me feel sad sometimes. And it's okay. It's okay to feel sad. But the difference is, I don't dwell there. Bear with me, I've just lost my point. And the same for you. If you find yourself looking back, it's okay to look back. But don't dwell there for too long. What it does by looking back is it can fill you with gratitude that God has never left us. So when you look back, don't linger in those places and those memories for long, but use them. Use them only to reflect at how far you have come and marvel at the power and the blessings that come from being a child of God. I can say with full assurance that God has never left me. He has blessed me in so many ways and shown love without measure. I mean, just to name a few, he's protected me from dark spirits when I was a small child. He's healed both my boys, who at different times as babies were very, very close to death. He's restored my marriage. He gave me a fantastic mother who I also had the privilege of being with as she took her last breaths. And God very graciously showed me little glimpses of heaven during that period of time. He has gifted all of us with talents. They don't have an expiry date either. Age has no boundaries in God's kingdom. We are a privileged people. Yes? And what of Nelson Mandela? Well, he served 27 years in prison, eventually being released on February the 11th, 1990. And he quoted, "There were many dark moments when my faith in humanity was sorely tested, but I would not and could not give myself up to despair." Several years after his release, as leader of the anti-apartheid movement, he became the first ever black president of South Africa. His government then set about dismantling the culture of racism and segregation which had existed in that country for years and years. Now, I believe that that was our God, the Holy Spirit, at work, protecting him and being with him. So please be encouraged today that Jesus is our shepherd. He will meet all of our needs. He will protect us, and he will be with us forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us.